This is Here and Now, and listen to these statistics. About 60% of men and 50% of women in this country experience at least one traumatic event in their lives, and 7 to 8% of Americans will develop post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. That's according to the Department of Veterans Affairs, an agency that has to pay a lot more attention to PTSD, because as much as 20% of the Iraq War veterans have PTSD in a given year. How to treat it? Still up for debate, and our next guest thinks he has a good answer. Dr. Bessel van der Kolk is a psychiatrist who's been treating trauma victims for decades. He's the author of the book, The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma. It's out in paperback this month. We spoke in January, and I asked him to define trauma and its symptoms.
Trauma is an experience that overwhelms your capacity to cope. People feel helpless, overwhelmed, scared to death. Horrified. At the core of trauma is horror.
Give me an example of something that would count as trauma.
Seeing your child killed by a car in front of your face. Mm. Being gang raped by a group of people. Seeing your father carted off by the police to jail and not knowing what's going to happen to him. Being taken out of your home in the middle of the night if you're a foster kid and not knowing where you're going and thinking, my life is over.
And of course, the things that we now associate with PTSD, trauma that occurs in war.
Of course. So war always focuses people's attention on trauma because it's so obvious. But for every soldier who develops PTSD in the war, there's about 30 kids in the U.S. who develop trauma-related symptoms because of violence that they experience.
And you worked with veterans back in the 70s when there was no such thing as PTSD, or that's not how we referred to it. What were you seeing then, and how did PTSD finally become a diagnosis?
Well, it's a very interesting question, because what people came in for was saying, I've become a monster. Nobody is safe with me. I blow up at people who I love. I can't feel any feelings for my kids. I try to assault my bedmates in the middle of the night and try to kill them, and suddenly I realize I'm trying to kill my honey. And so it was really an issue of not being able to contain aggression and fear. But then for political reasons, we had to convince the VA that this had to do with the war. So the main focus of the diagnosis became having flashbacks and nightmares, which they also did have. And so it became a memory diagnosis. But in fact, oftentimes when people are in a post-traumatic state, they don't really think about what has just happened to them. Their whole bodies are just in a state of chronic arousal, of being angry, of being upset, being terrified. And it doesn't have much of a content of this is because of a particular reason.
So they're not making a direct connection to the terrible experience that they had during the war and the terrible thing that they are doing at the moment, but they are connected, which brings us to the title of your book, The Body Keeps the Score.
Right. So it's not a story that is bad. The event is over, but your body keeps reacting as if you're back there again. So trauma is being played out in heartache, gut-wrenching feelings, panic reactions, and rage.
So how do we treat that right now? I know that, let's go through some of the treatments here, and one of the most common is cognitive behavioral therapy. What is that?
Yeah. Well, that's helping people to look at what they're experiencing, talk about what they're experiencing, and repeatedly talking about it in such a way that it loses some of its power. It causes some decrease in PTSD symptoms, but only 10, 15, 20%. So it doesn't do as much as you'd wish it would do.
What about exposure therapy?
Exposure treatment only works if your mind and your brain feel safe and you can sort of visit what happened back then from a safe perspective. So if you expose people to the memory of the trauma while they're freaked out, you only freak them out more.
But you have gone into new directions to treat it. And one of the things that you've done is having people do yoga.
Yeah. Our research very clearly sort of pushed us in the direction of yoga. I didn't practice yoga myself. And then we saw all these abnormalities in people's heart rate, their breathing patterns, the way they relate to their bodies. It was very clear is that their bodies were on fire. Their bodies felt deeply unsafe. So the enemy that used to be outside is now living within. And you need to befriend your body. You need to calm your body down.
Did that work? Did that have an effect on people with PTSD?
Our NIMH-funded study on yoga showed that yoga was more effective than any medication that has ever been published.
What does that tell you?
It tells us that medication can be quite nice to sort of dampen some of the symptoms, but at the end, people need to own their bodies and need to own their physical experiences. And in order to overcome your trauma, it needs to be safe to go inside and to experience yourself.
We're speaking with Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, author of The Body Keeps the Score. And doctor, you sound like you think there's too much focus right now in the treatment of trauma on the brain and not enough on the body.
In my mind, and brain and body are indistinguishable from us. What there's too much emphasis on is the capacity of the cognitive, rational brain to conquer our irrational survival brain. Neuroscience has helped us to understand that you really cannot talk yourself out of being in love or being angry or hating particular people because these are not rational processes. And reason has only very limited capacities to override these very more primitive survival issues. And so you need to not rely on reason. You need to rely on mastery of your body, safety in your body, finding peacefulness in your body. And that is not something that people learn in their psychology schools, because psychology schools are about understanding and yakking.
Well, speaking of yakking, by the way, one of the things that you have done is gotten people into groups and had them talk about their experience, their traumatic experience. Why do you do that?
Well, in general, I think talking about what's happened to you is important for certain people, namely for people for whom the trauma has become a shameful personal secret. And most traumas are. Most people feel terrible about what has happened to them. They blame themselves for having been raped. They blame themselves for what happened to their kids. They blame themselves for what happened, that their friends got killed in the war. And so trauma oftentimes becomes an issue filled with shame. And learning how to talk about things and to put it out there is a very important part of recovery.
So but what's the difference between that and cognitive behavioral therapy?
The difference is you don't try to manage people's symptoms. You try to help people to find language for basically unspeakable experiences. And that's a very gentle, thoughtful process. But you really do need to help people to just stay and going there and to find words for things that are almost unspeakable. And so one of the pieces of research we did is we showed that when people are remembering their trauma, the speech center of the brain basically goes offline. And people become dumbfounded when they go back to memory, remembering their trauma. And helping to bring that speech center slowly online, very gently, is an important part of treatment.
You know, I had a doctor in New York City who I remember him telling me that he was robbed at gunpoint, shot in his office. And years later, the thing that finally got him to get back to more of a normal life was he became a runner, and he would run all the time, and he started running marathons, and that was the moment when his mind could really relax.
You see, that doesn't surprise me. What I keep running into is that people have experiences like being massaged or by acting in a play or running or being in an athletic activity where they suddenly say, my body feels safe again. And we don't know what those things are. But sitting in a chair and repeating the story about your trauma over again is probably not going to do it.
What is the one real take-home message, though, that you would want people to read your book and go away thinking that they don't already?
Maybe the most important thing is that we have self-regulatory capacities. We have an innate capacity to heal from trauma. And that we need to explore what those capacities are and find a way of calming ourselves down. When you're traumatized, your brain continues to react as if you're still in danger. In order to recover from trauma, you need to find a way of feeling yourself, noticing yourself. A good example, I had the chance to talk with Nelson Mandela, and I had the chance to ask him how he explained his having become this extraordinary person. And he said, boxing. Again, like, you don't think about boxing for the treatment of trauma or incarceration. He said, yeah, boxing helped me aware of what the other person is about to do made me aware of my own body, helped me to anticipate my own movements and what reaction it would have in other people. Mm-hmm. And when he told me that, I thought that makes perfect sense from a neuroscience point of view. It's not one size fits all. I wouldn't say to everybody, go do boxing, or even to everybody, go do yoga.
But feel that you're in control of your own body.
Yeah, you need to find some way. It may be tango dancing, it may be running, it may be any number of things where your body once again feels like I am in control of myself.
Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, he's the author of The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma. Dr. van der Kolk, thank you so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we spoke with Dr. van der Kolk in January. His book is now out in paperback. You're listening to Here and Now.